tuned into the greatest.
You are now tuned into the greatest.
Oh my God.
It's the Fearless Podcast with Arian Simone.
Wani.
What's going on?
Everything. Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How are you?
I am all right.
Oh my gosh. Well, I called you Jawani to the people. So this is Jawan Pulliam.
It's all good. It's second nature now.
And you also have a stage name. So please forgive me. You can tell the people who you are for real, for real.
My name is Jawan Pulliam. I often go by Kofa, which is my music alter ego, I guess. And I do accounting for 20th Century Fox. And I just got another job with Emma.
Well, everybody, Jawan is one of my adopted little brothers, one of my best girlfriends. Mm-hmm. This is her younger brother, but he's mine too. She has to share. You said for sure. So, Jawan, tell the people about your upbringing.
Yeah, for sure.
Here at Fearless, let me tell you why I wanted you to do this podcast. One, your brother JP has done plenty with me though, but let me tell you why. You text me the other day and you were like, Arian, I've been thinking about your brand Fearless. I'm not sure if other people really get it or resonate. What made you say something to that extent?
So first, let me get out of, so I'm still kind of in work mode. So I feel kind of like my energy is kind of low because I apologize for that in advance. But to answer your question, once I moved from Atlanta to LA, it was a completely different, like, view of life. So it's really hard to understand what being fearless is about when you're in a place of comfort. And until you take yourself out of that place of comfort, you really won't understand what it means to be fearless. So for me, when I moved out to LA and I woke up and it's just me and I'm paying for all this and I'm doing all this and nobody can tell me no. And nobody, like, it was like a different sense of, okay, you got to go and get it. If you don't like it, if you don't, whatever the concerns that were restricting you before, them, whether you feel like it or not, it's out the window. So that's when I was like, you know what, let me hit Arian up and be like, man, I feel like a lot of people hear you when you say fearless, but I don't really know how well it resonates with them because it's a little bit different when you don't have an option to do something. Oh, I want to be a musician. Oh, I want to be a big time writer. As long as you have the sense of comfort, whether it be your job, your family, whatever it may be.
Well, you know my personal story, but that's where Fearless, of course, is birthed from. Where my move to Los Angeles across the country as well, too. And like you say, I was without comfort and living out my car, just trying to figure out life. And you're right. When you have choices, I always tell people you surrender by choice or by force. So when you have choices, like you said, and options, it's a whole different thing. But when you're forced to figure things out, you have no choice but to be fearless. So I get exactly what you're saying. So how has this move been for you?
LA is making a man out of me.
How old you are,
Juan. I'm 24. So I mean, as much as I like, well, not like, but as much as I've almost kind of been down on myself, the more I've been out here, the more I realize people, regardless of age, haven't really been able to do what I've done even at my age. So when I came out here, I did have to stay temporarily with someone for 2 weeks. But that Friday of the second week, I had my own place. So I kind of started talking and seeing what other people were at. And word on the street is people be out here for 6, 7, 8 months staying on somebody's couch. So not saying it's a knock on they hustle, but I also had to realize that I'm moving at a slightly faster pace than most. So I can't be as hard on myself through this, not troubling time.
Yeah, it's just transition. It's just transition. It's not a troubling time. It's just transition. It's new adventure, new everything. And yes, definitely. Yeah. I was telling you when I found out you had moved, you were already there. Just to be in the spirit of gratitude about everything, because you're doing extremely well. I was one of those people that was without a place to stay for 7 months. So trust me, I get it. So most definitely, you have to give yourself credit where credit is due and just express that gratitude. So just to interject for a second, season 2 are all about dialogues, discussions and whatnot with my family and very, very close friends. Of course, I had to have you. After you sent me that text, I was like, you know what? I'm having Jawan on the show. I was like, because he has some something to share with the people about what being fearless means to him.
Yeah, man.
So tell the people about your upbringing, your high school, your college career, etc.
I think I have a very complex upbringing because I literally my entire life had the best of both worlds. I've seen what it's like to have money and I've seen what it's like to have no money at all. So I think for me, I guess I'll start with high school. Well, really end of middle school, high school, because that's when that transition from a level of living of comfort to a living of, you know, we got to figure some things out kind of occurred. And I think what made it so much more of a taboo for me is that there was an expectation that even though I didn't take it personal, it was almost like if you're broke and you're expected to be broke, it's bad because you're already expected to be that. But when you're broke and you're expected to be rich, it's almost as bad as the other way. So I think that it allowed me to take a step back from materialism because that's all it was. So at an early age, I separated who I was as a person from what people expected I should be or have. So that was a major learning experience in middle, kind of eighth, ninth grade. High school was pretty much like extended college. So it financially got better. The market came back up. You know, it wasn't 100% bad, but that's when I was starting to get into varsity sports and stuff like that. Got 3 state rings. Actually, 4 if you want to count freshman year. I don't really count that one, though. But 4 state rings in football. You know, school was cool. It was kind of like I've always been like a humble, popular kid. So, like, I was never like I don't want to say stereotypical popular kid, but like I was always kind of in the background.
No, you're making sense. When I did I did a talk recently on the podcast with my best friend Kelly, and we pretty much said the same thing, because so many people have like this negative connotation of who the popular kids were, like as if they were mean kids or if they were bullies or something like that. I'm like, no, we were nothing like that though.
Yeah, nah, like the cool kids still mm-hmm. rock with me, but at the same time I didn't get in trouble with them. So when they was in ISS, I was like, look, I'm not playing with y'all, okay? Y'all go ahead and do that BS. I'm going to go over here. And then when y'all out of ISS, we can kick it again. So that was kind of like a good learning experience coming through high school. And then going into college, going into Morehouse, I decided not to play sports. But that was, oh, man. I think I might have had my first real, like, I don't want to say low, but going through Morehouse was definitely one of the most beneficial / eye-opening experiences of my adolescence. And I think that was when I started kind of paying a lot more attention to what I wanted to do in the future, so I didn't have to go through a lot of the stuff I was experiencing ever again. So I think college was the time where it's like I had a great time. Let's not get that twisted. But college was definitely a time where I was separated myself from a lot of my friends and was like, listen, I refuse to ever feel this, and this again.
Well, you mentioned Morehouse. A lot of the people who interviewed, because this season has all been like my family and friends, and a lot of people are HBCU graduates. How do you feel like attending an HBCU has shaped you today?
I feel like it is the definition of going to an HBCU is the definition of what it means to be resilient in life. Because if you don't want to be there, you will not make it. And I think it's so funny that, and I can even make that parallel to a lot of my friends who did Greek life. I find it so funny that a lot of the principles that you can find through Greek life and through going to an HBCU are the same principles that will bring success to you in life. But for some reason, it doesn't really hit people like the same way. So when admission is giving you a hard time about all your paperwork and doing this and getting this on time, and they lose this, and you got to go back, and you got then teachers gave you the runaround. I realize it's the same thing in whatever field that you go in, and I don't know why people don't really like see those two, connect those dots, because I have plenty of friends in going back to again some of my closest friends who are in Greek life. They know what they had to go through in order to get that. There was no such thing as no wasn't an answer. So for me, when I got into corporate, I can't take no for an answer. I'm learning. I'm, you know, understanding that some people just have messed up attitudes because they just mad at the world. Yeah, but either way, if it's between me and my money, then no one, you can't know.
Oh, ain't my gosh. I'm listening to you, and I feel like I've been watching just you grow up through the years, and I'm one, proud of the man that you are, and how you're always aware of, you know, just the principles that make you who you are. So tell us about your family life from what people wouldn't see. Not I'm not talking about your sister and her being a celebrity or anything. I'm talking about your dad's side, and there's like 10 of them, I think there is. And when the family gets together, you guys are so deep. Like, you all rock so hard for each other, so deep. If it's somebody's graduation or birthday, I mean, the house is just flooded with people. So what have you gained from that experience of having a, coming from a family that's so big and close-knit?
Actually, I say I learned two very important things. The first thing is, when it comes down to it, a lot of people say that you have to defend your family when they're wrong in public, even when you know that they're wrong. I feel like a lot of people don't really execute it as well as my family does. So there's been plenty of instances where, pick one, any of us have not made the best decision publicly, but that'll never make it to the public. And it might make it, you know, to close friends, but the close friends is like family. So it never really, everything, we keep everything in house. And I think that that's something that is beyond important, because just like relationship, let's pick a relationship. If a guy can see that a woman isn't really happy with whatever relationship she's in, he's more prone to penetrating. So when you don't, when nobody can voice their opinion toward the family, which will cause further separation, it's a lot easier heal it yourself, if that makes sense. And the second thing that I learned is, just because they are blood doesn't mean that the family. So not talking about my immediate family, but in general, there's a, like, you know how everybody has that uncle or that cousin or that whatever, that by blood, y'all are family. But to keep the peace, you have to, you know, have a certain level of separation, because even though that's your fam, that's not really, those are more your relatives. So being able to acknowledge and decipher the two, even when you have a strong family, allowed me to especially do that in the rest to the rest of the world with friends. Because I realized that a lot of times, I heard this all the time, especially like in Jay-Z music, he'd be like, the quickest way to kill or the quickest way to penetrate somebody who's real is to show them love. And a lot of times in life, I realized that there's plenty of people that show me love. But when you look at the actions of their patterns, we're really not that cool. So that's definitely something that those are two things
that is good. You said something about relationships, and let me tell you what went through my head when you said that. I'm not sure if you're familiar when Aisha Curry made the comment on the Red Table Talk about her basically not getting the same attention from males that her husband gets from females. Are you familiar with the discussion?
So I didn't actually watch the whole thing, but I saw enough of it.
So you're familiar. So this is what somebody said that I thought was so good, which was Tony Gaskins. And he said, the reality is her life looks very good. So if a man sees that this man is taking care of you in that fashion and there's everything is good, he's not going to cross that man and basically step to that man's wife like that. He said, now, if people heard on the street that she was being abused or anything bad was taking place, he said, yeah, somebody may try to slide in. So when you made that comment about keeping things in house, it brought me to that discussion at the Red Table Talk. And I didn't see the whole episode either. I just heard about it on social media of that, because I said, that's so true. Like you said, if you keep things in house, people are not going to try that. But if somebody sees that there's a window open, they'll go for that window.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to speak on a man's behalf, I think, well, let me not. To speak on a caliber of a man that I can relate to, from what I've realized, though, is that, yeah, for the most part, a man isn't going to test anything
it's solid.
That he feels is I don't want to say disrespectful, because, I mean, I know plenty of dudes that are trying to highlight a chick that he knows is married. It's not that, but I think, I don't know how to separate, you know, think is solid and just don't care. But I realized this specifically. I more so saw a lot of the comments regarding that whole little situation. And what I realized about women in general is that for some reason, for women to really want something that solid and, you know, a boyfriend or a husband or something like this, I don't understand why suitors are always such a, like, attention from suitors are always such a big deal. Because whenever I sit back and look at it, a girl have an attitude when she knows she has a whole bunch of dudes trying to talk to her. But if that dude isn't one that you, that's even worth talking to seriously, does it even matter? Same thing for guys. You know, I'm not saying it's a one-way street because it's not. But I feel like those scales are reversed because the older a guy gets, the less he, I mean, temptation always be there. But the older I get, I'll say, the less I'm appealed by the sexual aspect.
Oh my gosh, my
Javon
so is grown
the
up.
Holistic, I guess. I mean, I be having internal bias. You know, I feel like I'm too young not to do dumb stuff, but I feel like I'm too old.
Yes, you are. But
so
just
I'm at
hearing
a little, a slight
and one thing,
sure.
I'm even listening to you on this podcast, and you're very conscious and cautious of the words that you even use, because your sister, myself, and plenty of people always say about how words are powerful, but to see you know it without even having to say it, and then you making the decisions to be mindful of what words you're using. I said, look at Juwan.
Yeah, I'm getting, I think a real beast will be unleashed when I take a complete step sideways from not my siblings, all of them, not their shadow, but their opinion. Because even though I've tried to distance myself from their opinion, everyday decisions I make, a lot of times I think about their opinion. And while that's a very good thing to do, I'm trying to stray away from it, because at the same time, the older I get, the more I'm realizing that there are risks I would take that my siblings
no,
wouldn't.
No, not bad
that
at all.
Keeps me
and
from
you
doing
moving to
things.
LA is
not
one
necessarily
of them.
Bad,
that's not a risk they've taken, but it's a risk you've taken.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
She can fight me on it. It'll be okay.
Keish might fight you on that, but it's still a little, it's a little bit different. Yeah, it's a little different. So I think that, I mean, I made 24 year liberation. I didn't really tell anybody that, but the purpose of whenever, I mean, I turned 25 in 3 months, but I've been trying to get to a place where it genuinely doesn't matter. Not you just say something, other factors don't matter, but it genuinely doesn't matter. And what you're doing, what you like to do. Because I also realized that, like, I read Outwitting the Devil recently by Napoleon Hill. And one thing that stuck out to me from the book was people who, one of the traits of people who aren't drifters is definitiveness. And I would definitely say, I mean, it's gotten me here, so it's not a negative thing for me, but it's allowing me to realize, okay, I need to be definitive on what I want, because I'm so lax that no matter what happens, I'd be like, oh, it's fine. Like, it won't kill me. It's cool. And I'm starting to realize that, nah, like, for certain things, I need to make a decision, and it needs to be what I want, and not whatever happens.
I've heard about that book from some very, very successful multimillionaires.
Read it. Read it. Man, that is one of, that's actually my favorite book. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, so we had to read Rich Dad Poor Dad our, like, freshman year of fam. And I've read, well, I read Think and Grow Rich probably a thousand times. But just to hear that you're, well, I know what, at 24, that's where I was at. Right. I can honestly say that. That's where I was at. Those were books that definitely made an impact on my life. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, I read around that time too. But just those, I love that you're on this path. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes.
Yo, man, that book single-handedly, that I can't express. If I could make every person I've ever met read that book, I would. Because it changed so many, like, my perception completely changed on everything after reading that book. Because, like, it hit me in a bunch of different areas, because it realized that someone else in a completely different era than me was not only going through the same thing mentally, but allowed me to change what I already was thinking about in a way that I never thought about it before. So, for instance, with me and music, it was very interesting that he was saying that in order for him to get to where he needs to go, even though he was in a time with the Fords and the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, those weren't the people that were going to help him get to where he was at. So for me, it made me realize that, you know, yeah, I can know all these artists and all these PRs and all these A&Rs and all these people, just because I know them doesn't mean that they're going to be the ones that are going to help me get to where I need to go to. So it definitely made me change my perspective on a lot of personal things.
Okay, you've convinced me, Juwan.
Great book. Yeah, definitely read it. Because, I mean, I could keep going on about it for a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, give us one more.
In the sense of, like, another thing. Actually, I will say this. One thing that also made me, and I actually had to put a book down for a minute. So he was trying to, so pretty much the beginning of the book is, I'm not going to, you know, tell you everything, but the beginning of the book is pretty much saying how he had a job, was making money, still didn't feel fulfilled. So he was trying to figure out what was going to get him to that place of fulfillment. And the reason why it kind of was a battle for him was because he had to get to the side where he wasn't thinking on fear, but thinking on faith. So
that's so true.
Of people make their decisions based off of fear, not faith. The two biggest being, yeah, the two that biggest so being true. The fear of poverty and the fear of death. So he was pondering. He finally got to the point where, okay, let me make decisions based off of belief. So he needed to publish his book, and he didn't have any money at the time because it was already a long time since he had quit his job. So he's like, I need to figure it out. So his belief side told him to go to Philly. That's where you'll find where you need to be. His fear side said, don't do it. He went to Philly. When he got there, his fear side said, stay at a motel because you can last longer. His faith side said, stay at one of the nicest places there. Trust me. And as soon as I read that line, I knew where it was going. Because you weren't going to meet the person that was going to invest in your book at a motel. So his faith side said, stay at a place and go in an environment where you're going to find somebody that is going to put you in the place that you need to be. So for me, coming out to LA, even though I was completely messed up financially, I was like, you know, God, I'm budgeting like hell for sure. But I thought about that book immediately because whether I do music or whether I do accounting, the investment is I'm in a place where whoever's going to help me get to the next place.
I tell people that all the time. When they heard my story about LA, I said, you don't understand. That was the best place for me to go through that in. I said, because no other place would I have been able to build what I built after that.
Yeah, man. So, there's a few things in that. On top of that, I think it's so funny how, not to get deep into religion, but my family is extremely Christian. My dad, he gets mad when all types of stuff. Talk to God. Got it. My grandmother go to church every Sunday. But I find it so funny that aside from just, you know, my family, some people in my family, that a majority of people say they believe in something, but they don't act like it. They don't execute. They don't really walk in that line. So when somebody says lead by faith and not by sight, and then
that you don't believe what you say you believe. Good, Juwan. Oh my gosh, everybody has to hear this.
Exactly. Yeah. So what does that mean? So it got to the point now where I've almost been able to shut everybody out, but in the sense of if I believe something and I know that it is to be something that I believe, then I don't need to be concerned about anything else. You go out there, you hustle for it, you believe in it. The issue comes in when you don't really believe in what you like. Your dominant thought isn't the belief. That's what I'm trying to say. If you're telling the world, I'm going to get this. And then when you go home at night, you're thinking, dang, what happens if I can't get this? I don't know if I have enough confidence in myself. Then the universe the universe understands dominant thoughts. So I had to really sit myself down and be like, I know what he's saying. I know what my brother's saying. I know they're all giving me good insight.
Oh, you want to make me cry, Juwan.
And run it. Yeah, man. Look, I honestly think my calling is more so speaking than it is music. I think music might just be the platform to get there, because I like to look at the world with as much of an unbiased as possible. So when I speak with people, I realize when they don't emotionally agree with something, they don't like it. But there's a lot of patterns in life that when you take it for what it is, it'll tell you what time it is. But most people just don't want to accept that. I've definitely done a lot of just analyzing lately, and it has allowed me to kind of not necessarily say seeing things in hindsight, because I'm still going through it, so I'm still learning. But there's been a lot of things that I've been able to avoid somewhat because of this.
It is going to continue to work for you. Oh my gosh. This went a direction I did not know it was going to go in, but I'm so glad it went in and I'm so happy and it's beautiful. And we are about to wrap this up though, Shirley. I'm trying to think, is there any life lesson that you want to just leave with the people before we hop off? This was a stellar Juwan. I'm so happy. I'll probably have you back on here. But this was that good. Is there a life lesson you want to leave with the people?
I mean, I know you called me
Trust me, you didn't left them with plenty to eat off of. This is a lot.
I think on a lighter note, and this is something that in light of what I've been saying, I've also had to work on, is that you can't be so serious. So you have to be disciplined. But I also realize a lot of the best times and a lot of the most flourishing periods come when people are also having a good time. So I also have to take a step back and be like, you know what? Let me have a little fun and let me loosen up, because people are going through enough negative already. Let me be a positive. So I think one of the biggest life lessons that I like to leave on is
I'm a big believer in fun. I mean, a big believer in fun and in fulfillment of life. So when you say that, that just touches my soul, because I am huge on having fun.
Yeah, pour you a little cup of Crown and post up.
They didn't celebrate holidays. Oh no, honey, I celebrate Tuesday. What you mean you don't celebrate holidays? Life is to be lived and enjoyed. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but there's also power in that mentality. Like there's a power in a lot of it. You can tell a lot about people based off of their mentality, for sure. Because there's a very interesting line between those who are, I don't want to say successful or unsuccessful, because it's not really that black and white, but you can just kind of see a lot about somebody based off their mentality. So somebody who has that type of mentality, you know where they're at. You know, even if it might not be, so to speak, monetary, there's a lot of wealth in that type of mentality.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Juwan. I'm going to have you on here again. You know, you're about to have to be a regular. Oh my gosh.
Please do. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm down for that. Need it. You know, next time we can talk about business endeavors. Tell people where they can find you. What's going on next?
You haven't been cursing. Can you curse on here?
I don't know. I've been keeping it.
I don't curse on here, but I allow people to be themselves.
Okay, so I'll say this. Still kind of going in with your policy of no cussing. I'll say I've had to rearrange my life like hell in order to get I'm not one of those dudes that can be out without certain things at home taken care of. So I actually deleted, it's temporarily disabled, but my Instagram's out of here for now until at least I get back to a certain point where I want to be. My don't got a Twitter. My Facebook, I guess, is connected to my Instagram, so I don't know if that's disabled too. So I'll give you _ Kofa as my Instagram.
Oh, no, I respect it. I've been off for about a week and some days now, and I'm not coming back on for a second. So, I mean, trust me, I get it. I've stepped off of it for like 3 weeks in June, and that's when I realized I hadn't lived my life without social media since 2009, when I hopped on Twitter and Facebook. And I was like, Arian, you need to remember what life was like before this. And way more present, way more everything. So trust get it.
Yeah, so I'm going to get this marketing strategy down for my company and another company that I'm helping push. And then once I can do that,
I know that's right. Because when I came back, I told them that. I said, I'm only on here for these reasons. I said, and I'm sticking to it. So when people see me even post now, I'm posting, I'm on it, I'm on. Yeah, because it can consume your time. It can interfere with my productivity. Yeah, right now, project that your sister and I are working on, we're making history.
Congratulations on that.
I don't have time right now to be distracted by anything that's not pertaining to what I'm assigned to do. I was like, just point blank.
I mean, at this point, I literally don't have time, because about 17, 18 hours of my day is going to be going towards, if I'm not commuting to work, I'm at work. So I'm not
like it
really,
just doesn't exist. I understand. Time. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Juwan. You've been a pleasure to have all your wisdom at such a young age. I know everybody's going to enjoy and benefit from this. So I will talk with you soon.
Until
next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fearless Podcast with Arian Simone. Subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review.